This week from one of the primary schools, and we had the baptism open from last week. It was brilliant. It was completely open, and I asked them the question. There's a few slides for this one, Flo. I asked them the question, if I said to you the word church, what pops into your head? This isn't a church school. It's the one over near Trelander. I said, what pops into your head? You know, I just said church. So I gave them some big bits of paper and they scribbled away. So this is some of the big sheets of paper that they scribbled on. And what they thought was, I didn't know whether they've got church backgrounds or what they've got. So we've got a few pictures to show you. Is there any more? Okay. They were running riots. They were running all. It was wonderful. There's children just everywhere running around. And we put a little DVD on about how do we worship at this church. So we had some people at the cathedral that were singing a hymn. We had people at the Methodist doing their 9:20 or whatever service they call theirs. And then we had some gospel singers rocking and rolling. And then we had a bit of What a Beautiful Name You Are. Then we had and they just got out of the chairs and they were dancing. It was, I thought, whoa, I want what you've got. Yeah. So this was one of the sheets that they drew. So obviously they drew the crosses and the Jesus and the called back church. Is there another one, Flo? That's it. And we've got another church, and we've got we've got communion, and there's another one there, I think, with the water. Anyway, we've got baptism pools, and we've got and then I went over to one little boy, and he was so quiet, and he was drawing away, and I said, what are you drawing? And he drew that picture that says together. Can you see it? The one with the cross. I think we've got a big picture of it. There's it. There it is. Look at that. That's what came into his mind when I said church. I don't know whether he goes to church or whatever, but isn't that what it's about? I mean, that could be our logo. That is it. So I just wanted to share you that, you know, the place was full and it was buzzing, and people in our community are thinking that this is church, you know. So we had a great time with them. So, right, if I ask you the question, who am I? So have you ever been to a party, or you go to school, or you go to a new place, and somebody comes up to you and says, who are you? And you can list off loads of things. I was thinking to myself, if somebody asked me that, who am I? Well, I could go wife, I could go mum, I could go stepmum, I could go daughter, I could go sister-in-law, auntie, great auntie, la-la, assistant pastor, children. I can list off all of these things of who I am. And I'm sure there's more than that. Perhaps friend, maybe even Linda. lots of things. Who am I? Just turn to somebody next to you. Ask the question, who are you? And see what they say. See what they say. Danny, I just need that chair behind you. A minute, have that chair. Okay then, right, let's come back together again. So you've all decided. You've all decided who you are. That's really good. I'm really pleased. I wonder if you would say the same thing to a different person. Because sometimes we choose, don't we, to say who we are, where we are. So like if we're at a big, maybe at a meeting somewhere, well, actually, I'm the CEO. You know, where if you were at a party or if you were just talking to a child or something, you wouldn't say that. You'd say, so sometimes we can change who we are. And I was struck last week when we were watching that persecuted church, and there was one lady on there. I think we've got a picture of her on one of the slides, and her name was Aisha. There she is. And on that film, she said, I saw how God thinks about me, how he looks at me. And I wondered if I asked her, what would she say? I mean, her life was transformed. It just struck me that sentence of who she is. So, I've been thinking about this a lot over the last couple of months. Who am I? And obviously, I got my Bible out, and I've discovered some amazing verses. So, we're going to share them together now. So, here we go. But to all who believe in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And the next one. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Wow. I just want to read them all again. Sons and daughters, children of God, adopted. It's amazing, isn't it? Did any of you say that to the person that you spoke to? Actually, I'm a daughter. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of God. They're just amazing, those verses, like, boom, that's who I am. You know, we sing these things, don't we, and we declare these things, but actually, do we really know these things? So what did Paul mean, because Paul wrote that last one, when he said, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Why did we use the word? Why did he use the word adoption? Now, when we think of adoption, we usually think of, because a child needs a loving home, so we want to take this child and we want to love them, and it's wonderful. Adoption is a wonderful thing. But in the Roman Empire, so we're going back over 2,000 years now to the Roman Empire, okay? It was slightly different. There was the love aspect, but there was more. And I'm going to need a few volunteers to help me discover what adoption meant in the Roman Empire. Okay, hang on a minute. You've all got a part to play. I need a husband and a wife that are very much in love and very wealthy. So, okay, so you don't actually have to be married. We can just have a man and woman, you can pretend. Okay, so I need a man and a woman who would like to be a wealthy Roman. Okay, hang on a minute, Aaron. Come on, otherwise I'll pick somebody. Okay, Barney, apparently you're wealthy. Okay, we need a wife for Barney. Okay. Melinda. Wait, is Melinda here or is she in the kitchen? Okay, Melinda, here we go. Right, so you've got a very, very lovely home, amazing home. It's probably full of gold and riches and pictures and wonderful things. If you'd like to go to...
Can I just say it was Tony Harris that put his hand up for me?
Oh, was it? Oh, sorry. Okay. There you go. This is now. I think your wife should sit down, don't you? There we are. Okay, and you can stand by her. You're very proud. There you go. This is your wife. So this is a Roman... That's perfect. This is a Roman couple. They are so wealthy. They're probably really lovely people. You probably give to community. You're high in society. You're very well respected. And, you know, you've just got wealth beyond wealth, really. You just, you know, whatever. Okay. And now I need sort of the other end. I think they're called plebeians, I think, in Rome. Okay, so we need... He's still very much in love. Okay, so that's fine. So I need another man and another lady that aren't quite so wealthy. Don't run all at once. Okay. Okay, oh, here we go. Hannah and Mark. Here we go. There you go. All right. So you're not quite so wealthy, so you've sort of probably got a little bit, yeah, the sacks, I'm afraid. There you go. There you go. Right. And most things in Rome were overlooked, were ruled by the magistrates. So I need somebody, Dan, that can stand very important and really know how to rule this empire. Yeah, yes, that's it. Come on. Be all of these proceedings that are going to take place. Now, so we're in Rome, okay, over 2,000 years. Somebody said they were doing a Roman project. Around one of the children were doing a Roman project. So we're going to go back over 2,000 years. We've got, what should we call them? Barnabas and posh people. Okay, posh Romans and not so posh Romans. And we've got a very, very, very good magistrate that ruled over everything. Now, the problem was, there was a little problem. That in Rome, you always handed down your possessions and your wealth and your empire and everything to your son. But unfortunately, our wealthy couple here that, you know, just had everything, you didn't have a son. So there was a little bit of a problem because who were they going to hand down their wealth to? But our poor people here, they had loads of children. Look at them. They had so many children. You probably didn't even remember all their names. You're all their children. Yeah, these are all your children. So you wouldn't have a problem handing down everything that you own to your sons. And but trouble is, you didn't own very much, so you didn't have very much to hand down. So, but The trouble is these did own a lot, and they didn't have anybody to hand it to. So what the Romans would do is they would adopt a son. And it actually wasn't a negative thing, it was a positive thing. So they'd probably look for a good son that was healthy, intelligent, and wise, and good. Is that anybody here? Okay. Okay, I think, Luke, I think you put your hand up first. So if you'd like to stand up and come and stand with your mum and dad. There we go. Okay, I need to give you a bit of wealth. Here we are. Here's your money. Okay. So what would happen is the rich, wealthy Romans, they would want to adopt a son from the not-so-Romans. And it was fine. It's what you did. Okay, so you would go over to your wealthy family. I'd say, wave goodbye to mum and dad. That's it. And the magistrate would be looking on and nodding and going, yes, 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 that's fine, that's fine. And then you would give your money to the poor dad. So if you could just pass the money over. That's it. I don't know how much you're worth there, Luke, but there we are. There we go. And that's what would happen. But the magistrate would then say, you've got to go back. So the son would go back and the money would go back. And then they'd talk a bit more and they'd think a bit more and they'd talk a bit more and they'd think a bit more and they think, no, actually, we are going to let our son go over to be adopted. Yeah, off you go. That's it. And the money would hand over again. And the magistrate would make sure everything's okay. And they'd think about it. And think, yeah, we're really going to do this. We're going to do this. He's going to be good. He's going to be a good boy. Yeah. But no, we're going to come back. The magistrate would say, no, you need to hand the money back. And the son goes back. That's right. And they'd think about it a bit more. Because this was a serious thing. You're handing over your son to another family. Okay. The third time, this is it. Okay, there's no more changing. If you now go over to the other family, Luke, this is it. There's no going back, all right? So, off you go. Wave goodbye. That's it. Hand the money over. That's it. And the magistrate would now sign the document to say that this is their son. And when they adopt a new son, if the son has got any debt or anything outstanding or anything at all, it's all just wiped away. There's nothing outstanding for this son anymore. Also, this son inherits this name. He has a completely new identity. He's no longer that family. He's this family. He has a new name. He also has new relationships. Deep relationship, because this son is going to inherit everything. Contact with his old family, but this is his new family. Yeah, that's it. This is his new family. He has inherited everything from this family. He has a new identity. All old is washed away, and he has new relationship. And that's what adoption was in Roman times. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. I want to read you a passage from the Bible. It's in Galatians. Okay, let's read this. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer slaves, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. So let's think about that. So God sent his son, born of a woman. Christmas. So Christmas, God sent Jesus. That's Christmas, okay? God sent him to buy freedom. That's Easter. That's Easter. That's a bit like the bag of money that was going back over. Okay. So that we could be adopted as his very own children, just like this son. The very own child of this family. And because we are the children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts so we can call him Abba, Father. So he doesn't even just leave it there. Yeah, we've got the Christmas, we've got the Easter, but then we've got Pentecost as well. We've got the spirit coming into us so we can call him Abba, Father. So then we are called children of God. Now, the problem is with all of this is sometimes we know it, don't we, in our heads. Okay, so I'm just going to draw a picture. We know. So that's sort of a heart. Danny, I should have got you to do this. Okay, so that's sort of a heart, okay, and that's being a child. So I know, I've known for 40 years that I am a child of God. I know, I've known it, I've read it. I'm putting it in some water. So often, it's so easy for that to just wash away and disappear. And that's because it's in my head. It's in my head. I haven't allowed the Spirit to take it to my heart, to really, really, really know what it means to be a child of God. So easy to know it, but do you actually experience it? Because what we want really is this. So I'm going to draw another heart and another little person. That's it. Here we go. Okay, another heart. So that's that one. So I'm going to put this one in the water, Toby. Let's see what happens. Oh, is it going anywhere?
No.
Okay, so this one stayed. So I drew this one with a permanent marker. You have a bit of rain there. And the other one with a washable marker. So the washable marker is when it's in my head. The permanent marker is when it's in my heart. And you need the Spirit of God. You need to encounter God to get it from your head to your heart, to know what it means, to restore your identity and become a child of God. So, shall we say thank you to our actors, and then we've just got one more bit to do. Okay. Okay, so when he came in, you should have been given a little person. If you stuck it on you, if you could just sort of unstick it or... Because I've got to, just one more little thing I want to show you about identity. It's that last little bit. God has made you his heir. So we know that God is God, but God is also the king. So if God's the king and we're his heirs, that makes us children of God, but we're children of the king. So what would you call, well done, a prince and a princess? So I've got a little film that I'd just like to show you.
They call me Prince Douglas. Hello, loyal subjects. It is I, Prince Douglas. Yeah, hey, I found out that I'm a prince. How cool is that? And it's not because I have this awesome crown or this super cool cape. And, you know, my mom and my dad, my mom's not like a queen, and my dad's not like a king. You know, I live in like the Midwest of America. There's no kings or queens in America. But you know what I found out? I found out that the Bible says that you and I are God's adopted children. Yeah. God wants us in his family. God picked us. And you know who God is? God is the creator of the universe. He's in charge of everything and everyone. God is the king. So, if we've been adopted into the king's family, you know what that makes me? Mm-hmm. A prince. And if you're a girl, you know what that makes you? A princess. Yeah, and if you're a boy, that makes you a prince too. How cool is that? You and I have been adopted into God's family. He picked us. And because he picked us and because we've been adopted into God's family, we are princes and princesses in the kingdom of God. Hey guys, I hope you like this video. Oh. And I hope
okay, so has everybody got a little person? Have you got one down here? I think I've got some spare ones over here. Oh, there we go. Look, thanks, Danny. There we go. Does anybody need one? Would you like one, lovely? Anybody else? There you go. Okay, we're just going to have a little look at this little person, all right? Okay. As I was thinking about this and what we were going to talk about, I thought, you know, it's amazing that I'm a child. I'm a daughter of the king. Okay, I'm a daughter of the king. He's my dad. You know, because I got the Spirit in me, I can call him Abba Father, Dad. Okay, and then I thought, oh, because... Sometimes you always go back to your dad, don't you? Or dads that you see or whatever. Say, don't compare me with your earthly dad, because I am so, so different. I am the creator of the universe. You know, I've created the universe. I've created everything. I've created you. So don't compare me with your earthly dad. And in some ways, it's brilliant, isn't it? Because we've got an earthly dad, maybe, and a heavenly father dad. Some people, you know, have different family situations. My own story is that my dad left when I was 12. He walked out the door. Another experience of a dad is my daughter's dad left when she was 2 months old. So my perception of dad is like, who's going to leave me next sort of dad. But then also that came into that was I had this amazing man that I married that took on my daughter and treated her like, you know, he was her dad. So I've seen it from both sides. But God still says, I am that, but I am so much more. I am so much more. So it's like you've got two dads, some people. It's like Jesus. Jesus had Joseph, didn't he, as his earthly dad. And then he had God as his heavenly dad. Okay, so we've all got a little person. And what we're going to do is don't think about earthly dads and all things that the things that come in your head. That can just fade away for a minute. We're going to think about the heavenly dad. And the fact that that heavenly dad calls you his son, his prince or princess, his daughter. Just look at this little person. Pretend it's you. Think, as God saying, you're my daughter. You're my son. You're my prince. You're my princess. And we're just going to sing the song, Danny, the I Am a Child of God, while we just reflect on that for a moment. Okay. I am a prince. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And I don't just want you in my head. I want you in my heart. So like we said last week, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Let us know that we are your sons and your daughters.